Hello and welcome everyone to the Great Womb Awakening, where women all across the globe are waking up to the undeniable truth that the female body is the most powerful shamanic tool on the planet, and every woman can utilize the energies of change and expansion present at this time to ground a new vision that can serve the next seven generations and beyond. Women can harness this unprecedented power that lies within their female bodies and unleash that power to create global change at a level never before seen on this planet. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forest Institute, and we are here today with Dr. Rima Benario. Rima is a soul-driven success coach, author, speaker, and speaker who helps women shift out of a life of drama and disappointment into a life they love. Rima speaks and teaches on women's sovereignty and the challenge that many women face in maintaining a healthy balance between caring for others and caring for ourselves. Rima's work empowers women to cultivate self-sovereignty in seven areas: physical, sexual, energetic, emotional, career, mental, and spiritual. Through private coaching, workshops, and online classes, Rima facilitates potent practices that repattern and restore childhood conditioning. This work quickly and effectively allows her students to heal the past and break free from the blocks to the way of life that they want to live, that they love. One of Rima's greatest loves is leading transformational travel journeys and sacred pilgrimages to spiritually potent locations such as Egypt, southern France, and the British Isles. Rima's writing has been included in four volumes of the Feminine Evolutionary series from the Flower of Life Press, Pioneering the Path to Prosperity, Sacred Body Wisdom, Set Sail, and the soon-to-be-released volume, Sovereign Unto Herself. She's also the co-author of the popular book, Who Have You Come Here to Be? 101 Possibilities for Contemplation and the Companion Twin Card Decks. Today, Rima is here to talk to us about releasing the unsustainable superwoman archetype and unleashing your true feminine superpower. So, as we jump in, Rima, explain to us what the superwoman archetype is and why is it unsustainable? When I was growing up, that's what we all wanted to be.
Yes, that was very much what we were sort of conditioned into believing was important for us as women if we wanted to own our power. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that that would be the case because we were, we live in a world right now that almost exclusively recognizes masculine power patterns and doesn't really understand or in any way show feminine power, what it actually looks like, mm-hmm. what it feels like. We're still learning to bring that on board. And so, like many women our age, you know, and in our generational window, we were wanting a seat at the table, right? Because we'd been excluded for so long and we needed to make gains in that arena. So we entered the workforce and we began to create a life for ourselves, an economic life for ourselves, which we really needed. But for most women who also had children at home or were in, even in a, if they were partnered in a marriage, they didn't get any relief on the home front. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like just taking on a second full-time job. Mm-hmm. And if you remember back in the early 80s, 79 and 80, there was a commercial that ran all summer long when I was, I think it was my 11th, somewhere between 11 and 13, that Anjali perfume commercial, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. the woman's talking about being able to bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan and never let you forget you're a man. And the voiceover is so fascinating because the guy says, the 8-hour perfume for your 24-hour woman. Right. And that was like this crazy expectation that mm-hmm. we were going to be able to somehow harness all 24 hours in a day to be available to everybody who needed something from us. Mm-hmm. And very little conversation about what do we need to receive mm-hmm. to sustain us. And so here is born the superwoman idea. I am a superwoman. I can do it all at the same time without dropping a single thing, you know?
Right.
And really over time, that has just led to a crisis of burnout and mental health issues, even for women, dissatisfaction in their relationships, a sense of just being dried up and not juicy and alive anymore. And this is, it's just really a problem for us.
Right. So if we let go of that inner superwoman, because all of us have embraced it, we've all got to-do lists this long, how do we maintain ourselves economically? How do we meet all of our obligations? How does that work?
Yeah, so what I've found in my own growth in this arena is that I don't have to lose any of my competencies that actually come from my masculine energy. Both of us, all men and women, everybody, we are an electromagnetic energy field. So that means we have an in pole and an out pole, which is a masculine pole and a feminine pole. Right. And so we have come to lean really heavily on our masculine energy, which is all of our capacities. Mm-hmm. We want to keep that. That's a beautiful, phenomenal thing. And all we need to do to be able to let go of striving in a very masculine way of being is to turn the volume up on our feminine power, our feminine power pole, so that we create some balance in our lives and that we make sure that we have enough time where we're turning down the masculine and bringing the volume of the feminine up so that we're fully in a receptive state. Balance is beautiful. Sometimes we need to be more masculine than feminine, and we really want to have times in our day, every day, some period of time where we are in a receptive mode and we are nourishing ourselves. And I find that there's two things that get in the way of that. The first is that we think we have to nourish ourselves with the same gung-ho go-getter energy that we use to get mm-hmm. things done. Right. And that actually is not the way to do it. That's actually mm-hmm. producing more of that same frenetic, over-busy, over-committed experience. Mm-hmm. What we're looking for is something softer. We're mm-hmm. wanting to just slow down a little bit. We're wanting to come inward into our body. And you can do that in 7-minute, I counsel and coach my clients and students to do these in 7-minute packets mm-hmm. so that we're not necessarily feeling like, sometimes we think I need an hour to do self-care, right? Mm-hmm. Like because it takes that long to do a yoga class or to get to the gym or whatever. And so I'm wanting women to know, and part of what I'm working with myself is these super doses of small connections, small moments where we're taking time to love on ourselves mm-hmm. and to be in the receptive mode. I just had in our circle call last night, one of the women mentioned how she's tired and she's working way too hard. She's got 3 young kids, and yet she finds herself at night watching 2 or 3 episodes of Netflix before she goes to bed. Mm-hmm. And she knows she needs to sleep. And I explained to her that that's because when we're sitting watching television, that is receptive mode. And right. the people acting and performing for us are offering their energy to us. And it's a way that we actually receive energy. And it's not necessarily good to do that and cut our sleep short. Mm-hmm. But when we get in a deficit, when we find ourselves coming to the end of the day and we're in a deep deficit, we're naturally going to be gravitating towards things like that to try to get some fuel in the tank, you know, even if we're not, then we're cutting our sleep short. So, so that's what I would say, is that we don't have to let go of our competencies. We just want to turn the volume up and add to that our deep feminine nourishing practices. And, you know, that could be something as simple as don't eat at your desk. Don't eat in front of the computer. Take 15 minutes. Go sit outside. Eat slowly. Let yourself have that time to restore. It doesn't have to be a big, giant craft project, although those are wonderful. And then the other thing about it is that we want to come at it with a gentleness. We don't want to turn our self-care into yet another way we can shame ourselves for not getting something done, for not, you know, we just add things to our to-do list. That's not how we want to come at it. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of things to watch for.
Sweet. So you mentioned receiving and being in the receptive mode, and I know a lot of women have trouble receiving. How do you help them overcome those kinds of challenges to receiving?
Yeah, you know, most of us suck at receiving. And the reason that we suck at receiving is that our out pole, our giving pole, is located in the chest. It comes from our heart. Mm-hmm. And so when we're out there doing, it's because we're wanting to be of service, and we're wanting to give, whether that's to our families or to our clients or in our work life. Receiving, however, is something that happens from the pelvic area. Mm-hmm. So we need to be really fully embodied to be good at receiving. And it's a practice. Mm-hmm. Most of us were trained as young women to be in this serving role. Mm-hmm. And to be available for whoever it was. You know, our culture even tells us the sort of purpose of women is to be available to the masculine, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've been trained to believe our usefulness is in doing and giving, mm-hmm. rather than recognizing. And so therefore our power is in doing and giving, when really our power is in receiving. And if everybody's giving, who is receiving?
Right.
I mean, there's literally no one on the planet receiving when we're in that space of constantly doing. And here's what's really fascinating about that. If no one is pausing to receive, then no amount of giving is ever going to be enough.
Right.
Because it's just this impulse to give and give and give until we feel received. Mm-hmm. And so one of the best gifts we can give to the people in our life and to ourselves is to be willing to receive. And so I teach practices that are embodied practices and energetic practices, mm-hmm. that help women tune into the pelvic area of the body, mm-hmm. which is where we do most of our receiving. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of us have done a lot of heart exercises. Maybe we're into heart math, or we do things with the heart chakra. That's great. But it's an outpouring for us. Mm-hmm. And what we really want to do is bring our attention into the lower three chakras, and in particular the sacral, and really focus on allowing ourselves to receive in through our body. And our body will tell us, will give us cues if we're willing to listen, that lets us know it's time to stop now. We need to.
Oh, yeah.
Pause and receive. And if we don't listen to the early ones, we end up with some pretty significant cosmic 2x4s.
Absolutely. So Rima, could you say more about the missing feminine archetype of the queen, and how it makes a difference, how it made a difference in your life and continues to do that?
That's such a great question. I have had this experience of, like, it's like getting the blinders taken off, you know, and once it can be seen, it can never be unseen, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was doing my research, and through my own process of evolving and unfolding, was playing around with sacred geometry and numbers, and you know, the body, mind, spirit threesome, and then there's the there was the maiden, mother, crone threesome, and the power of the triangle, which is a like the feminine and the masculine, the womb and the chalice and the blade, and the doorway through which much manifestation occurs. Mm-hmm. And as I was in my process, I had gotten to create a really powerful connection to my soul. And I was realizing that, you know, there really were four elements. There's the mind, there's the body, there's the heart, and the soul.
Right.
And I was being with those four elements and doing research in the metaphysical meanings of these things and looking for esoteric teachings, I found that we actually, as women, have a fourth phase in our life that's been missing, maybe even purposely hidden, who really knows, that maiden, mother, and crone were incomplete. That really it's maiden, mother, queen, crone, mm-hmm. as the time periods or phases of a woman's life. And discovering the queen was like a magic elixir. My daughter was getting older, and I had been doing all this embodiment work and exploring tantra and other things of that sort. And so my mothering time was really winding down, mm-hmm. and I was so clear I wasn't ready to step into crone yet, mm-hmm. and the queen gave me the space to move into the time of my life where I'm really ready to be in full leadership without having the pull around mothering mm-hmm. on my plate. And that kind of, even though we've genderized mothering and it's something that women do, women are the mothers, it's a very masculine output. It's mm-hmm. a masculine act. The time of the queen is really to know that we are on our throne, the throne of our life, and it's our time to be on center stage, and it's our time to receive and to have the realm be ordered according to what we need and want in the world and how we need to be resourced, fully mm-hmm. resourced. This is mm-hmm. what I believe it means to truly be a sorceress, is to be able to source yourself.
Right.
And bring that out into the world with all the backing that a royal queen would have. Mm-hmm. She takes care of her domain, but she doesn't do it from a deficit. She does it with abundance and a clear mission. Mm-hmm. And so it starts by sourcing ourselves and recognizing that time of queen is so critical. And I say to my students a lot, especially women that they sort of feel like they're already moving into that crone phase, to pause and come back and bring some of that queen energy into their lives, because we can't fully embody the power of crone if we haven't lived in the understanding of our right as a queen, the right mm-hmm. to our power as a queen.
Oh, that gives me chills. Yes, 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 yes. So can you walk us through the seven domains of self-sovereignty? That would be the
sure.
realm.
So there are seven areas that I focus on and help bring attention to while we're working to embody the queen archetype. And it's all about being sovereign unto ourselves. So we're done worrying about these domains in terms of how they affect our life partner or how they affect our children. It's not that we're going to ignore them and their needs, but we're really going to be at this time in our lives giving ourselves permission to preference ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we look at the domain of physical sovereignty. What does it mean to be in a place of physical safety and physical nourishment for ourselves? How do I become a safe place for me? Mm-hmm. And that meant I needed to start paying attention to drinking water throughout the mm-hmm. day and eating healthy foods instead of eating for taste or eating in the ways that I had conditioned myself to do to soothe myself, but eating for health. I still like to have the occasional, you know, fun thing to eat, mm-hmm. but it's no longer how I eat. Mm-hmm. Taking time to rest, making sure I have a comfortable office chair, you know, that I spend so much time in my office chair. Looking at things that I need to look at in my life in terms of unhealed wounds around a sense of safety and the right to exist, just the very right to exist on the planet. So that's the physical domain where if we're not feeling a right to be here, all the other things we need to do to care for ourselves are going to be out of order.
Right.
So that's foundational. Mm-hmm. Then we come into sexual sovereignty. And sexual sovereignty is really, again, about being in charge of our own sexual life and our sexuality and how we express it. So we dress for ourselves and we move for ourselves and we make choices around whether we enter into a sexual experience out of deep authenticity. Mm-hmm. And when we're working on our sexual sovereignty, we're needing to lean into what is it that we truly need, want, and desire, and to do that guilt-free.
Right.
To really just know that we're allowed and our needs are valid. And so we're working in that domain of really recognizing, and maybe sometimes we need to go back and look at some of our sexual history. We might need to look at some of the ways that we abandon ourselves in sexual relationship, or maybe we experience sexual abuse, and look at each of those things and begin to tease them apart and find how we can heal from that and, mm-hmm. and move into a place of deep communion with our sexual capacity. Mm-hmm. And this is our birthright. All that energy that shocked me, we think of it sometimes as sexual energy, but it's really life force energy. Mm-hmm. And that all is part of owning our womb space and our sexual organs, whether we still have them physically or not, is not important. There's an etheric space in there that we can derive power from.
Absolutely. Wow.
So the energetic domain is really all about recognizing that we have an energy body, and it's about recognizing that there's an anatomy to that energy body. Most of us have never been introduced to our energy body and the different aspects of it. So how can we be sovereign? How can we have sovereign control over the way we move our energy and the way we offload energy when it becomes too high? Most of us don't. So it comes out sideways and we end up having to clean up all of those messes. So we're not able to use our power effectively. Mm-hmm. And energetic sovereignty is about learning how to do that so that we can be more powerful mm-hmm. in a way that doesn't create more trauma mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional sovereignty is pretty self-explanatory. We want to have some capacity to move through our emotions without being hijacked by them. Mm-hmm. We want to understand where that's coming from and be able to create strong emotional connections with other people mm-hmm. without giving up our sovereignty to ourselves and, mm-hmm. and without being jerked around by our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next one is career or dharma sovereignty. It's really about knowing what our purpose is in the world, connecting deeply to our soul and understanding why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we have actually two, Barbara Brennan talks about this in her wonderful Hands of Life book, that we have two kind of imperatives. The first is the world purpose, mm-hmm. and the second is the personal purpose. And actually she says it's really important that we know our personal purpose and our personal healing work before we try to offer our world work, so that we're bringing a healed person mm-hmm. to the world.
Right.
And so we talk about that in the Dharma or purpose or career sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have mental sovereignty, which is really just about owning and being able to be out in front of our thoughts and the way we think about things. There's a lot of shadow work involved in that. You know, how do we get out of story making and the stories right. that we tell ourselves and cling mm-hmm. to, which then end up not taking us to a more empowered place.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final is spiritual sovereignty. And that's so important, to move into a spiritual path that feels like it's our own, that mm-hmm. we haven't just been handed something from our family life that doesn't fit for us. Right. We're actually able to give some thought to and be with what's authentic for us in our spiritual journey. And sometimes we have to look at very unfortunate experiences that might have happened to us in our time of exploring spirituality. So again, we can heal that and develop a more sacred and personal spiritual life.
Wow. That's That's a lot. That's a lot for women to begin to own, I think. What are the seven truths and the seven rights of receiving that you believe every woman should know about?
Well, these also relate to understanding these domains of sovereignty. And the first, so I'm going to go back. See, and by the way, these all relate to the chakras in the body. Each of these are like, this is like part of our energy body that's a massive toolbox for us to use. And so what the first right is to right to know your divine nature. Right. And to have your have within you a recognition that you are a sacred and holy being. Your energies come here into this physical body. But before the physical body, in the, where you'll go to later, perhaps, I mean, however you think of this in your own way of understanding your spiritual life, that you've brought an aspect of the divine here onto the planet. And so your unique aspect is so important, and you have a right to know that. You have a right to see clearly and to your vision and be visionary. And when you bring that understanding of your divine self into your third eye and your vision for the world, we're able to see things through that lens. And so we don't get tripped up so much in the way the ego sees things, because we're seeing clearly. And then we can bring that down into our throat. And so here we have the right to speak and hear truth and to be a stand for truth. And it's easier to do that when we're bringing that experience from that realm in. Then we bring it into the heart, and here's where we have the right to love and to be loved exactly as we are. And this chakra, the heart chakra, is the halfway point. And so now we begin to bring other people sort of, this is the final stop. So we're getting ready to go deeply into the self. And so we have to bring self-love into the equation. And very often we're a little too focused on loving everyone else and not enough focused on loving ourselves. And so then we bring it down into the power chakra. And this is the right to be a differentiated self, to have our own agency, to be in our power, and to know that we can do that without needing to have any shame at all around wanting to have our own space. And then there's the right to our needs, wants, and desires. And and that is so important, to be a creative being. That means that we're pulling from that desire, that which we want to create, whether we're joining our genes or joining our genius, we're we're creating from that place, and we have a right to our needs, wants, and desires. And then finally, we know we have a right to exist and to be here fully on this planet. And if I know for myself, I through my work of working with energy healers and studying energy work, I discovered that I hadn't actually made the commitment to be fully here on the planet. And I felt like my wheels were spinning constantly. I wasn't completely in my body. I couldn't really therefore experience pleasure and joy all the way, because it's the body that helps us have those cues and sensations. And when I made the commitment to know that I have a right to exist and to be here and come all the way into my body, that's when things really began to turn around for me.
Awesome. So what are some of the practices that you teach women that help them embody these truths and deeply receive?
Well, a very simple one to start with is just to spend time bringing some conscious attention to your pelvic area. You can do that by placing your hands, you know, sometimes like in a little triangle over your pelvic area, so that the fingers get just to the top of the pubic mound and your thumbs are under your belly button. And just doing some deep breathing and breathing in and out of the womb space so that you're actually firing that up. And you're imagine bringing energy into that area. And if you really want to supercharge that, you can feel the energetic roots that you have grow all the way down into the earth and anchor themselves into the heart of the earth. And then a third root coming directly from your tailbone down into the earth. So it's not just two, it's three, which kind of gives you like a three-pronged stool. fresh, sturdy, and stable. Mm-hmm. And as you're sitting and feeling yourself hooked into the earth that way, the beautiful heart of the mama, you know, I think of it sometimes like the when you're riding a roller coaster, you get to have the safety belt on so you can enjoy yourself and not be so afraid. And the earth is spinning at wild speeds. And so this is like my safety belt. I hook into the earth. And then I can gently breathe up like I'm sipping milkshake through a straw up my roots into my pelvic bowl, all that pure, beautiful energy from the earth, and allow that energy to really light up and bring aliveness to the pelvic bowl area. And as you do that with some regularity, it starts to wake up your shakti. And this is really where our superpower is. It's not in getting stuff done. That is not our superpower. It is in actually being receptive and getting this energy generation. It's like our own power plant, getting it going. So then we can move that up into our body and nourish ourselves from the inside.
Wow. And that sounds like that would be one of those little 7-minute exercises you were talking about where women could do that every day if they wanted and
absolutely
begin to wake that up. What are some of the results that you've seen in your students when they started doing some of these practices?
Well, one of the things that starts to happen pretty quickly is women start to get this sort of softer demeanor about themselves. And when I say softer, I don't mean, do not confuse this with weakness at all, because it is not weakness. It's the absence of the sort of tightness that we sometimes hold ourselves with throughout the day. Just doing these exercises helps women become aware of how we clench. You know, we clench our jaws, we clench our fists, we clench our shoulders, our insides sometimes are clenched, because we're coming at the world, the masculine approach to the world is that of the hero. There is something that needs to be vanquished. And so we stop adjusting ourselves to that archetype and instead find our natural rhythm so that we don't have to attack everything. I don't have to attack dinner. I don't have to attack the laundry. I can dance through creating dinner and flow through doing the laundry and find a joyous, softer energy with which I can move throughout my day. And then I get to the end of the day and I'm not so worn out. And so what I've seen change, women change, it changes everything about them. When we turn on this energy, I mean, their skin changes, their eyes change, their happiness level changes, their sense that they're more gratified with life, more satisfied with life. And then sometimes that translates into more fun in the bedroom.
Right.
That's a self-pleasuring practice or working with a partner, enjoying a partner. It can translate into softer parenting styles and more compassion for ourselves and our children and a whole lot more fun. So that's some of what I've seen happening.
That sounds like it really wakes up the true feminine versus what
absolutely
was the feminine. Can you talk a little bit about your free gift, which I see is, you've called it Embrace Your Queen. Can you explain to us a little bit about what that is?
So what I wanted to offer to women was a primer on these seven areas, these seven sovereign areas, where you can see at a glance, what are some things that are important to know about these areas? What are some essential oils I can use to activate these areas? What are some gemstones that I can call on to activate these areas? What's the archetype? There's a kind of a queen that goes with each of these areas. It's a bit of like a flavor to the queen. What are the things that I need to be paying attention to in terms of the challenges associated with each of those domains, as well as the rights for those domains. And so it's just a kind of a cheat sheet where you can see it all at a glance. And if that's really interesting to women after they've received that free gift, there'll be a second free gift that they'll be invited to participate in, which is a 7-day online, well, really it's an email program where you will receive from me 7 videos. It's called 7 Days to Awaken, where these are just like 5 to 7 minute videos of a physical practice you can do to bring some of this juicy energy up into your body. And I know that not every woman is ready to dive into something like that. She might not want to make that deep of a commitment. So this is a very gentle, just a one page resource available to you, which might be perfectly enough for you. And there's a follow-up if you really want to go deeper. I'd love to have you along for that. And that's also free.
Rima, that sounds delightful. And this has been such a joy. Is there any parting message you'd like to leave with women today as we close our time together?
Well, I would just say that this has been some of the most profound work that I've done in my life. And I know, Kathy, you've said similar things about this work. And I really encourage you to see this as a gift that you can really give yourself to learn to become a better receiver. The universe is longing to receive. And the better we get at receiving, and I'm not just talking about receiving money, although that's wonderful. We all deserve that. Or receiving love, again, that's wonderful. We all deserve that. There's also guidance that we can receive and wisdom from our body that we can receive and a sense of our own respect and love that we can receive. And that's what actually makes us, you said at the top of the call, brings us into that place where we are making the difference in the world because we're physically becoming that which we need on the planet. And there's no more important work, in my opinion, than that right now.
I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been a joy.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kathy, for having me.
You're so welcome. Part of this.